Hey, what's up? My name is Pat Dameron. I'm running a rooted Motorola Droid, and you're listening to the Android Central Podcast.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode 30 for September 16th, 2010. I'm Phil Nickinson, your host, your editor of AndroidCentral.com, and yeah, that's me. And I've got Jerry Hildenbrand with me tonight. Jerry?
Howdy, everybody.
We are sans Mickey Papillon again. 2 weeks off. We're going to have to make him talk double as much next week, maybe. What do you think?
I think we can do that.
So we got a lot to talk about tonight and a lot of stuff that just broke in the past hour or so. So let's just get right to it. Samsung had an event in New York City tonight. Our boy Andrew Melnizek went. Our manly man, Andrew went. So they talked Galaxy Tab. And on one hand, it's really cool. And on the other hand, we didn't learn that much more. The big news is that the Galaxy Tab is coming to all four major U.S. carriers, Sprint, T-Mobile, AT&T, and Verizon. We don't know when. Some of the press releases said this fall. Others mainly said by the holidays. We don't know for how much. We don't know what the carriers are going to do to them, but we do know they can do a little bit and have done a little bit, Samsung said at the event. And that's it. They also announced Media Hub, which is their streaming video, TV, movies. And it's rolling out now as we speak. They also revamped their websites. It's going to be available on there too. Don't have pricing on that. Don't know anything. I mean, it's so frustrating, Jerry. It kills me.
Yeah. Well, you know, when it's in the carrier's hands, they can't talk a lot about pricing or release date. Unfortunately,
then they needed, and the carriers. No, then they needed to get it, you know, worked out before this thing, and had everybody there, like the event a couple months ago that Dieter and I went to, when we had all the carriers in the room and we had all the information. They've done it before, and Samsung did it, and it was incredible at the time. Why couldn't they do it this time?
Well, because you can't have two incredible things in the same year, or that big comet will hit us. That's the only explanation I've got.
The chat room's going nuts. There was actually one big piece of news, sort of, and that is a Wi-Fi version, Wi-Fi-only version, is coming. So that means no extra data charge, right? Don't know when.
Right.
Don't know for how much, but we know it's coming.
Well, there's another little blurb I caught that come from Samsung. I think it came from Kim himself. I would expect the international version in a few weeks.
Yep.
They said that they would be bringing out the Tab in a few weeks. Now, how many is a few? I don't know, but I'll bet we see just the standard international unlocked European version here very shortly.
I hope so.
Which would be really cool, the way we can know exactly what we want to do and what we want to change and how we want to play with it when it rolls around to us.
Well, I mean, something needs to come. I mean, this is the problem we've had for a long time. And it's just the way it works is that the manufacturer announces something and says, oh, the carriers will tell you about how they're going to do it later. And it's so frustrating. It's frustrating for us. It's frustrating, you know, for the readers, for the consumers. I mean, it kills me the way it has to be done. And it doesn't have to be done that way. Especially with a company like Samsung and, you know, Motorola and HTC, they're big enough. I think they have enough power. So that they can say, no, we're not announcing this until you guys get your stuff together, and then we can all do it together like one big happy family.
Well, I agree. I mean, that in a perfect world, we would get what we want. But, you know, it's like you said they did earlier this year. That was more of a surprise to everybody that they actually got everybody on the same page at the same time. That surprised us because that's just not how it's done, unfortunately.
It was when everybody was together a couple months ago, Sasha Sagan got the head PR rep from Verizon, you know, to talk with the head PR rep from Sprint, and we were all joking that a black hole was about to form.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to get over it and just bask in the glory that is the Galaxy Tab coming to the U.S. and coming to all four carriers, which is big.
And Master Otaku, if I'm saying your name wrong, I apologize, brought up a very good point. Samsung does have the power, and they could have just came out there and broke the exclusivity thing wide open and just said, hey, Here it is. Buy it at your local big box electronics store. You know, we are going to have 3G versions unlocked. Unfortunately, CDMA carriers do not cooperate with us. Contact your carrier to complain.
Right.
And that would have been a really good power move for the consumer. It's a shame that they didn't do it, but I can understand why they didn't.
And, you know, we're still going to be talking, you know, $500-$600 probably unsubsidized, right?
Oh, sure. Sure.
Just no way around that. It's going to be a lot of money. So we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a lot of components in there. You know, they have to make back their money. And unfortunately, I'm sure they looked at undercutting the other popular tablet that's out in the market. And if it's possible, I'm sure they will, but I just don't see it happening.
Yeah. So that's the Galaxy Tab. Froyo. It's got Froyo.
Yep.
It's got the market.
Yeah, that was they had said before that it should have the market, but with no voice and then a Wi-Fi only version, I was kind of curious if, you know, maybe that's something that would have to change, but good thing it didn't.
Well, no, let's call it for what it is. If it's a crap device, if it's a crap device, Google's going to be like, no, thanks, but thanks, no. That's what it is. I'm sure that's what it is.
Right? Well, yeah, but I mean, that's not what they said it was. Yeah. So
that's
I'll hold them to what they tell me, even though I have Phil to tell me the real truth because he understands.
Other announcements this week. So HTC had its big London event yesterday on Tuesday. No, yesterday? What day is it? Today's Thursday. They had it on Tuesday.
Today's Thursday. Tuesday? Yeah.
I don't even know what month is this? What year is this?
Wait a minute. It was Tuesday London time. So if you get in a TARDIS and you swing over to the United States, I think it was like 20 minutes ago.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. So HTC just had its announcement. About 5 minutes ago, they announced the Desire Z and the Desire HD, like we pretty much thought they would. The Desire HD is basically kind of like the Evo 4G, only without 4G, although I think it's a little better. And the Desire Z is that QWERTY slider. It's basically the version of the G2 that they're going to get over there. Let's start with the Desire Z, because I think that's the – I'm not sure why yet, but that's the one that's really – pulling at me a little more. 1.5 gigabytes of ROM, 512 RAM, 800 megahertz Qualcomm processor on a 3.7 inch screen, 1300 milliamp hour battery. That's
yeah.
5 megapixel camera, 720p video recording, blah blah blah. Kind of everything we're used to. I love the keyboard. I can't wait to use one of these.
Yep, I tried to transition to software keyboard and it just wasn't as easy as I thought. So really? I'll be glad to have another device with a good keyboard on it. Yeah. I mean, Vlingo saved me. Me and software keyboards, even swipe, just aren't getting along. So I'll be glad to have the slider.
You know, the big thing that nobody has touched on yet, I think, and I just thought of this right now, since sideways.
Yep. Yep. And regular Sense, not weird T-Mobile MyTouch 3G slide own version of Sense. This looks like regular real Sense with a sideways version.
Actually, it's a newer, better Sense.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, the Sense on the Desire Z and the HD both look like they were the same Sense.
10-second boot. If you haven't watched it, we weren't at the event. We didn't go to London for this. I need a London writer. We got to get somebody in Europe. Somebody's over there wants to write for us. Let me know. Engadget did a video showing it booting up. I mean, literally, I don't even think it took 10 seconds. I think it was less than 10 seconds.
Yeah, they're puzzling. I would really love to, you know, look and see what's going on under the hood there because it's quick.
So you've got that. And oh, wait, we need to reiterate what you just said. You just said that's quick. It boots in less than 10 seconds. So I don't want to hear any of this. It only has 800 megahertz crap. It boots in less than 10 seconds. Period.
Yep.
Done.
Yep. And I can super, super tweak my Nexus One and it's still going to take 35 seconds to boot.
Mm-hmm. Man. All right. So we don't know if the G2 is going to get this new enhanced Sense. Maps cache offline. How cool is that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a big thing.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Think about it. Well, yeah, because, all right, say you're going, you know you're going someplace. You cache them while you still have internet access, and then you can get to it later. Okay.
Well, you live in the flat country. If you come up here, anything that will work without data connectivity is a good thing.
That's true. That's true. Hey, I don't have T-Mobile 3G here. Do I need to get started on that?
Yeah, go ahead. Just get it out of your system.
Well, and that's what, no, we'll talk about the G2.
So, but I do.
So that's the Desired Z, which Will Park from Intumobile had a great, great headline. He said, Desired Z stands for, oh my God, it's awesome.
Yeah.
That was great. And then we've got the Desire HD, which is essentially kind of the Evo, not really, sort of. This is how HTC does things, right? Like, they'll launch something in Europe, and then we'll get a version of it here, or they'll launch it here, and then Europe gets a version. 4.3-inch LCD touchscreen, 1 gigahertz Snapdragon. It's Qualcomm 8255, which I believe is the new...
Yes,
platform,
it's the new one,
end, right? Yeah.
So that's good.
Gig and a half of ROM, 768 megabytes of RAM. That's up there.
Yep.
Interesting. Dual band HSPA, quad band edge, which is kind of par for the course for Europe. 8 megapixel camera with dual flash, 720p video recording. Both phones have that DLNA media sharing stuff that we're really starting to see on all the phones, right? And what's more, HTC has a little adapter now for TVs. DLNA TVs generally are newer, right? So you can stream media from your phone to your TV. So if you have an older TV, HTC is going to have a little adapter that you can hook into it.
Oh, sweet.
I still don't know that I'm ever going to use this.
But maybe. If you want to, it's nice to have it. You never know. You know, as long as it doesn't make the price skyrocket or make performance of something else suffer, stick it in.
Wi-Fi in. What else? I mean, these phones have everything we want. I think I'm more excited about the processor and what's under the hood than anything else in the new sense. Because otherwise, it's new, but it's not new, right? We're not next gen yet.
Yeah. I'm itching to get my hands on that new hardware. It could come with no operating system on it and I'd still be happy.
You'd be extremely happy if it had no OS.
Well, yeah. You know, just download whatever you want and put it on there. That'd be sweet. But
so that brings us to, I don't know. LG had an announcement at 4 a.m. our time on Tuesday morning. Optimus One, Optimus Chic. You know, they're good. We're not going to get them here, I don't think. Europe.
No, unfortunately.
Actually, Europe is getting a couple versions of them, so that's good. Optimus One.
And I want to talk about those for a second before you just jump on past.
Yes.
This is the entry-level Android phone that I've been waiting for.
Yes.
They need to bring something comparable to the U.S. It's got decent hardware. It's with the small screen size. And, you know, maybe it's only a 600 megahertz processor, but it's running Froyo. It's going to be fast. It's going to be nice. And, you know, I've used a couple entry-level Android phones that weren't so nice, and I'd love to get my hands on one.
When I badmouth low-end Android smartphones, this is why. This is a good low-end Android smartphone, not a cheap low-end Android smartphone. And I'm sure these won't be pricey, probably, by, you know.
Oh, I'm sure not.
Yeah, by Asian standards. But this is the way it should be done, and LG has done a really good job of it.
Yep.
So that's LG. Now let's talk the G2. So we've got full specs on this thing. I'm excited about the G2. Kills me not to have 3G here. Kills me. end.
Do you just not have it anywhere or just not in your house?
Don't have it in Pensacola.
Well, then you just have to come live on my porch.
Yeah.
Yep. Pack up everything and move to where, you know, where Mobile or somewhere down there has got to have T-Mobile 3G.
So we got
a wife and kids love that.
800 megahertz Qualcomm 7230. So that's a different platform again. Froyo, 4 gigabytes of ROM, which is nice. Although, I don't know. I mean, it's nice to say you have 4 gigabytes to store apps. Do you really need 4 gigs to store apps? I'd rather be able to share that.
Well, no, I don't know. I ran out of space on two phones with some of the new games that just came out.
That's true. And I have had to clean stuff off my Nexus.
Yeah, I actually had to delete a few things off my Nexus to install a Fruit Ninja. So, you know, I've got to have Fruit Ninja. So, yeah, I'd love to have, you know, the 4 gigs of, you know, space available to applications. I'm all for it. It's a good start. I want to see 16.
Safe to say you're getting this phone no matter what, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I keep bugging the people at Costco. When can you tell me that it's going to be in? I already know it's going to be in. Don't lie to me. But they
don't tell. We leaked it's going to be in.
Yep. Yep. I printed it out, showed it to them. You know, you can tell me. I already know. They just smile.
Speaking of phones getting announced this week, Motorola announced the Defy that's coming to T-Mobile. It's a rugged kind of mid-range phone, 3.7 inches, flashlight, 5-megapixel camera, that DLNA access, Android 2.1. It looks a little more interesting. Well, it's got the old Moto Blur on it.
But now, and everybody will find out if I ever get off my duff, it's probably the same operating system that's on the Charm.
Mm-hmm.
That Moto Blur isn't near as bad as everybody wants to think. It's different from what's on the Click by a long shot. And besides the visuals, it's very close to what's on the X. So it's not that bad. You know, don't just write it off because of blur.
Okay. Well.
You got to try it, Phil.
I need to go to the store and play with one, actually.
Yeah.
Because I want to see the keyboard.
And that was the Jordan, right? Are we sure that that's...
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know if we would expect another mid-range or if that one was the Jordan. I could never find anybody that would just say yes or no. That's why I asked you.
No, that's it. Let's see. Timo News got another leak on the MyTouch HD. And these specs look a little weird, right? 3.8-inch screen, 3.8 inches? That's unheard of.
I hope that's wrong.
I'm willing to bet it's wrong.
Fragmentation.
Android 2.2, 4 gigs of memory, 5-megapixel camera, VGA front camera, the Genius button, HSPA plus data speeds, and a 1 gigahertz dual processor. Not dual core. It says dual processor. So this sounds like, you know, like marketing specs gone awry a little bit.
Yeah, I think what they mean there is, I know the G2 is the same way. The processor has a separate memory space for phone functions and Wi-Fi, and it doesn't use... It actually has its own little, I guess, pseudo core inside. And I'm pretty sure that's what they mean. So it should perform a lot better because it's not checking for phone signal or, you know, managing your Wi-Fi. It's doing all that separately.
Gotcha. The HTC Desire, you can get it now on Cellular South. Woohoo!
Yeah, yay.
I like the Desire. It was nice to play with it again for a few days.
You know, how many people put the Desire ROM on their Nexus One just so they could have it? Well, now they can actually get the Desire.
Oh, you know what we forgot to talk about with the Defy? Was it being announced? First, they announced it. They didn't announce it first on Oprah, so they sent out a press release, right?
Yep.
And then they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, all right, here's Oprah. So Oprah gave one out to her entire audience. She's also taking them to Australia. So this wasn't the big thing, but you know, I watched it.
I missed it.
I had it on in the background. Don't lie. You watch Oprah every week.
I watch Oprah from time to time. I'll admit that, but I was getting some health issues taken care of. So I missed that Oprah.
Watching Oprah every day will cause them. Engadget got a leak. Logitech's Google TV box called The Review is coming September 29th, and it's going to be $300. Ouch.
Yeah, ouch.
I know the size and weight of the thing doesn't matter as far as, like, what it does, but the thing weighs nothing. It's small. I just don't see how it's $300 worth of parts in it. It doesn't have a screen. I don't know. And I don't know anything about that. If you have Dish Network, yeah, it's going to be $179. So you get a huge break on it. And Dish Network was one of the partners who was up on stage when they announced the thing. I don't know. I'll still get it because I really want it. And But, you know, you can't compete with Apple TV if you're going to sell it for $200 right. more. It's
well,
a no-brainer.
And the $300 price tag, the first thing I thought is, maybe I'll wait and see what TV manufacturers come out with, and instead I'll spend $800 on a nice new TV with it built in.
Right, and we know it's coming in Sony TVs. We've heard some other TVs possibly, so we'll see. I don't know. I mean, here's the problem. You can get Apple TV for $99, and people are so invested in iTunes anyway, right? Between music and right. TV shows and movies. You know, when I was downstanding with Dieter, you know, that's his thing. All of his stuff is in iTunes, right? But I would much rather use Google TV, you know, with a keyboard. And I don't know why Apple says, well, you don't want a keyboard. I would love a good keyboard down there. I would love to be able to search from the TV.
Sure. Well, you're old enough to remember Web TV. Did you ever use it?
My grandmother had one, and I kind of figured out how to use it, yeah.
You know, the internet sucked back then, right. but having it on your TV and having a keyboard, you know, right there in front of you, that was the best part of it. So, you know, I want a keyboard on my internet-connected visual entertainment device.
It'd be nice. Let's see. You want to talk about this Acer phone? Acer's one of those manufacturers. They make phones. We don't get any of them here in the U.S., so it's tough for me. But, okay.
It's got a cool name. You know, Liquid Metal's a cool name.
It's a very cool name.
and it looks nice, but, you know, I worry a one-off company. Now, Acer makes a lot of products, but in the Android world, they're kind of one-off. Makes me a little worrisome about what level of support you might get. But then again, you have to get it in your hands and see for yourself.
Yeah, it's just, you know, they haven't broken into the U.S. yet. So I have a limited amount of space in my brain. All right, you want to talk Fruit Ninja? Talk some software?
You know what? I can play Fruit Ninja. That's a sweet little game. And my wife has it on the iOS, and I never, you know, looked at it too much, but new game come to Android. We all had to take and check it out, and I'm hooked. I'm hooked bad. Easy and for an old guy like me, I'm not into, you know, Heroes of Might and Magic, Dungeon Crawler, or other games that everybody might want to Android, but Fruit Ninja, I can chop me some watermelons, baby.
My wife and kid are playing Angry Birds all the time now.
Yeah? Now, I just didn't get into that one.
Really?
Really. It was fun the first time through. But I guess I just don't have the patience to try to get 3 stars. You know, maybe when the full version comes out, that'll change. I'll certainly try it. But, you know, it's just not as satisfying to me as chopping up watermelons and kiwi fruit.
Do you know how ridiculous that sounds?
Yeah, I know. Maybe that's why it's so fun.
Hey, what's the chat room think? What do you guys think? Angry Birds or Fruit Ninja? Which is better? Here comes the waterfall. Wait for it.
Yep.
Wait for it. Fruit Ninja. Angry Birds.
Angry Birds.
Angry Birds. Fruit Ninja. Unreal 3. A couple people saying Fruit Ninja won't download, and Angry Birds is still in beta, so that's kind of not a fair thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there have been a lot of apps lately that you can't get on everybody. It's kind of ridiculous. I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, I don't like it much. Everybody, as long as it's a free app, my email address is out there. If you can't get it and you want it, you just give me a call. Give me a holler. I'll help you. Only free ones. Don't even try.
Yes, yes. Don't go there.
Now that I've gotten myself in more than enough trouble.
The Swipe beta got itself an update over the weekend. Now, one thing we need to make perfectly clear, and Swipe did a pretty good job of it, I think, and people just refuse to read, is this is for the beta. This is for if you sign up for the beta on their website. This is not for the Droid X or the Droid 2 or anything else that already has Swipe on it preloaded. It's for the beta. So don't put it on a phone that already has it. Don't put it on the Vibrant. Don't put it on the Epic 4G. Don't try it on the Fascinate. Don't try it on the Captivate. Beta.
Did you try it?
No. But other people didn't.
Because I'm just wondering if and it will almost work and screw everything up, or does it just tell you, you can't,
no good. It breaks it.
Eww.
Yeah, so don't do that. If you do have problems, go to Swipes forums. They can help you out. And they're good people. I like Swipes a lot. Fix you.
And it was perfect timing. I couldn't use Vlingo for a few days because I had problems with my voice. So I had to use Swipe. And it's the first real chance I've given it, I'll be honest. And it's, I can see why a lot of people like it. It's my favorite amongst the software keyboards.
My mom loves Swipe on her Epic.
Your mom is so cool. She's got an Epic and she likes Swipe, and she had a pink Centro. That's cool.
She's my barometer now for all things Android. No, it's not you guys in the chat room. It's my mother. let's see. We got a cool little app that toggles auto updates. So we had that question like a week or so ago on the podcast. Somebody coming over from overseas and wanted to, you know, make sure his apps didn't update while he was here because it would just suck down data, right? He didn't want to suck down roaming data like that. And so this app just toggles auto updates on and off. It came from XDA. Really cool little update. I need to turn mine off, actually. But I like it. Man, it kills me, right? So we have auto updates in Froyo. I can't use them because I want to know when my apps are going to update. Just so I can see what it is and make sure, like, if it's an important update, we need to write about it.
Right. Right. Yeah. I have all mine shut off too. I, for the same exact reason, what if it's something we need to talk about?
Yeah. But it's a cool app. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Give that a shot. And it's, I don't think it overwrites, like, the permissions thing. So if a permission changes, you still have to manually update.
Yeah. I think, does it, it doesn't actually take the toggle off in the market either, I don't think. I think when it's active, it just blocks it.
Hmm.
It's, you know, it's a root application. So it's,
right.
You know, it can do what it wants to do. So, and it, you know, it sounds pretty cool. I, like we said, I don't have a use for it, but I did look at it a little bit.
Let's see what else. Ooh, this HipLogic Spark launcher. Did you see that video today?
Yeah, and I checked that out too. That's going to be sweet.
It's a little laggy right now. It's still beta, and I'm almost to the point where I wish, and I hate to say it out loud, but I wish people wouldn't advertise betas because everyone, this app sucks. It's laggy. It's big. It's beta. How many different ways do we have to say it?
Right, and they put it out there so people can go back and say, hey, it lags when you do this.
Mm-hmm.
That way they know. And it's bloated because all the code is there. They don't know what they can strip out. You know, it's beta software. Give those guys a break. Cause that's going to be something. I'm sure you used to use SBC Mobile Shell in WinMo, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this kind of reminds me of that. You know, I don't know why they don't look the same and they don't really act the same, but it's just really, it's different, and it, you know, it's visual. I think I'm going to like it and can't wait to get a good version for my, you know, my phone, the one that I need to know what's going on.
We need to do just a giant launcher roundup because there's some really good ones out there. And I know I poo-pooed launchers for a long time, but especially on these newer phones, they run just fine, right? Especially the ones that aren't in beta. like the more I use Launcher Pro, I'm really enjoying it, and I think it's good. So we'll work up something on that soon. You want to talk about Mini Squadron? Because I've been playing with that a little bit too.
Oh yeah, that's a cool game too. It's a, you know, we did a video, a little quick video showing how it works. It's, and it's another one of those open faint games, which is great. You know, it's not head to head multiplayer yet. Hopefully they'll get there.
Well, explain Mini Squadron
on Wi-Fi. It is.
Explain multi faint for a second. Or a multi-faint, open faint.
It's, and I don't want to use the words that are keep coming to me, so I'm going to just ramble a second. It's, well, you know what I want to say to compare it to, but it's not really.
Right.
It's, you know, you have this game and it communicates with open faint, and your friend has the game and it communicates with open faint, and you can look at each other's, you know, little awards you've won in the games, and it can tell you which games you're playing and how many points that you've made. And it's like a game server, but it doesn't provide the head to head functionality, you know, to play against somebody yet. It's more like a, you know, on the Xbox, yes, it's like Xbox Live. Somebody else said it, so I'll go ahead and say it. It's just like Xbox Live on a smaller scale. And I like it. I've already got quite a few friends on it.
It's big on the iPhone, so OpenFaint has a bunch of games coming to Android, and that's good to see. So, you know, I love hearing the iPhone fans, you know, still lament not having good games on Android. It's like, really? Because we do.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of the same games you have, so bite me.
And Mini Squadron is a great example because it's, you can look at the iPhone examples, you know, at YouTube. Ours is the same. Matter of fact, the developers said that ours is a better resolution.
Oh, well, yeah. I can tell you that.
So,
my only problem is I just don't like using, like, thumb joysticks on the screen for some reason.
On the Nexus, it's a little bit better. Or, you know, on the Incredible, something that you have a trackball or a trackpad you can use it to shoot with. But, yeah, it's got that little joystick in the corner. But I can't think of any other way they could do it. You know, it's you got to have controls. And it's not that bad on Mini Squadron once you get it out of your head that you hate it. That's what I had to do. You know, well, and
when I play on something like the X, it's more enjoyable. Like the X, I think I've been playing it on the Evo. And the Evo, it's good. I don't know why. The X feels bigger to me. I still haven't figured that out, but it does.
I don't know. Maybe it's just a little bit longer. Makes it different in your hand. I don't know.
Yeah.
Still haven't got to use an X.
Verizon is working together with Good for you guys who came over from, especially Windows Mobile. Maybe the old Palm days, they're working together with Good, for enterprise. So that is good. Sorry, didn't mean to do that. So that's email, calendar, contact sync, security, kind of lockdown stuff, all the stuff your IT department loves and we all hate and try to avoid whenever possible.
Well, yeah, Good is like an extended version of Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for people that don't know exactly what we're talking about,
it's what I used an email. Before, yeah, it's what I used before we had proper Exchange support at my old job.
Right.
I used Good to get my corporate email. And then once they upgraded to Exchange 2007, I guess, I was able to get proper Exchange on there and then use it. But Good was good. I liked it. Cox Cable's bringing an Android app to let you play with DVR and check listings and all that stuff, but they're only launching it in 3 markets to begin with. It's going to roll out to more, but they're just taking their time to do it right. Same goes for that. They were going to launch, we saw Hero, I guess, a few months ago with a Cox branding on it, and that's the last we heard of it. Apparently they had some trouble getting the billing all figured out, and so they're taking their time on that. But they're still working on it, we were told, so we had a nice little leak there. Talk to me about the Unreal Engine 3, so that was seen running on Android.
Well, that's going to be another big thing for the gamers. That's a lot of your, you know, your high-spec, high-tech games use the Unreal 3 engine, and now we have phones like the Epic, the Vibrant, you know, all the Galaxy S phones and the Tab coming up. The X, the Droid X should be great, you know, run those kind of games great. So I'm glad to see it come too. And, you know, for anybody that's not familiar with it, we put a video up. You need to check it out, especially if you're interested in gaming, because that's a big thing that everybody's been wanting.
Unreal, what chat room knows more about this than I do. What good games run on Unreal 3 now? I don't know. I'm not a huge gamer. I'm lame.
Neither am I. I mean, I know what the engine is, and I can tell you about the demos, Unreal Tournament.
Well, sure. Yeah. But I mean, any others? Any others we know of, or is it all just Unreal?
Gears of War, Halo.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Duke Nukem Forever. Oh, man. Oh,
come on. No, it's coming. Duke Nukem Forever is coming.
No, we never heard that before.
No, it is. They showed something because they've never done that anyway. So that's cool. Look, I'm excited. I think this time next year we're going to see a lot of just amazing, amazing stuff.
And especially that's what's been missing.
Yeah, you know, especially when we get like good dual core and just badass hardware, right?
Right. Right. This, the next generation Snapdragon, and then, you know, next is coming the next generation OMAP and the next generation Hummingbird. They're all going to come out, you know, twice as powerful, twice as fast. Then they're going to beef up the graphics. You got to have the games to go with it.
We're going to have to wear sunscreen.
Yeah. And heat shields.
Yeah, what's the resolution going to be next year? Will it be 3D?
What
are we going to call it? What can we get beyond retina? What comes next?
Cornea?
Cornea, yeah. Iris?
There you go. Phil D. There you go. Phil D.
Should have known. Adobe found a little hole in Flash Player for Mac and Windows and Android, so they're fixing it, and it could potentially allow somebody to take over your machine, blah, blah, blah. Steal your house, your wife, your kids, your dog, and, you know, relax, guys. It doesn't mean Steve Jobs is right. Holes are found in software all the time. Props to Adobe for fixing it.
Right. I was just waiting for some of the, you know, the Apple blogs to, oh, look, Android, Flash Player, holes, vulnerability, the world, the sky's falling. I'm glad it didn't happen because this happens every day.
Yeah.
When they patch this vulnerability, they'll find another one. And I do want to mention to everybody, they have not found anything out in the wild yet that affects Android. The possibility is there. That's why they're fixing it.
Right. It's the way it should be, and it works. So, and Google is testing paid market apps in India. I know that doesn't mean much to most of us here, but that's a big deal because there are
the 2 billion Indians
in India. And that's a lot of eyeballs for Google to get Android into their hands.
Right. So. And that does mean something to us behind the scenes. That's 2 billion, whatever. I saw a little graphic. I think it was close to 2 billion cell phones in use in India.
Mm-hmm.
You want a big chunk of those to give 30% of what they spend on applications to Google. And, you know, hopefully Google will invest that back into Android development. So that helps us all.
That's probably it for software, I think. Anything else we missed? A lot of good software this week.
I can't, you know, we had the few games that came out. WorldMate. You took a look at WorldMate.
Yeah, and I've got one other travel app I'm looking at too. I just totally forgot the name of it. Let me pull it out of my pocket here. Not TripIt. It starts with a T, I think. Is it even on this phone? I can't tell anymore. Maybe it was WorldMate. That's not a TripCase. That's what it is.
I remember now.
Yeah, I'm still WorldMate's pretty good. I think TripIt is still the best, and I use Flight Tracker every day, which ties in with TripIt. So that's kind of where I'm going at this point. I think I'm still TripIt and Flight Tracker. Yep.
Well, yeah, but it's good to have the choice. Somebody else might like WorldMate a little better, so I'm glad it's out there.
Let's talk some OS updates, because I'm sitting here waiting on a bunch, and I know you guys are too. to start with, Google finally updated the Android versions, so Froyo is now on 28% of all Android phones. That's up from, it was like 4-point-something a month ago at the beginning of August. So that's a pretty good leap, right? I mean, what do we have on Froyo now? We've got the Nexus One, the Dink, the Droid, the Evo,
Droid 2.
The Droid 2. So 5 phones, is that all? The Desire?
Yep. I'm sure there's more in Asia. All the HTC Asian phones, I do believe, are on Froyo now.
And if not, they will be soon.
So.
We are currently waiting for the Epic 4G to get one. Sprint just announced today that a release is on its way. Got a bunch of bug fixes, some 4G fixes, stuff like that. No word on the GPS fixes for the other phones. I still don't have any GPS problems with the Epic. I don't know what the big deal is. The Droid X, we're still waiting on Froyo for. Should be any time now. I'm waiting.
Yeah.
And it got another leak build over the weekend.
And everybody, if you go to our Droid X forums, we've got a nice sticky in there. If you want to help contribute to find the, you know, the location of the OTA, we've got an explanation in there. You can walk through and if you get a notification, you can help out and tell everybody where the file is to download. So you do want to check that out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, over the weekend, we kind of fixed the whole Google thing on the Fascinate. Thanks to all the guys in the forums who helped out with that. And did it mainly without rooting. I'd say it's about 90% without rooting. And you have to use a third-party launcher, but then you get Google search back. If you root and then rename one Bing file, I think Corey figured that one out, then you get voice search back when you hold down the little magnifying glass search button. So that's a big thing. You know, Verizon has still said that you're going to get the option to get Google back with the Froyo update, but God, they so blew it with this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame. There's nothing wrong with Bing. There's nothing wrong with having Bing on your phone, but to not give you the choice to use Bing or Google is, I don't think that was a wise decision.
No. And I messed around with Bing for a while today. I've got a review ready to go. It's a good app. It's not a bad app. And it's almost kind of like a little mini launcher in an app instead of a launcher. It's got a little tab at the bottom that will hide if you tap it. And so it kind of looks and feels like a launcher. But it's not. It's an app.
Yep.
You have access to all the Bing images and kind of image search, and I don't really know why. And it's cool. It's nice to have, but it's like, okay, whatever. You know, it's got all the movie listings that we're used to. Bing Maps is fine. I think I like Google Maps better. It's a little faster, but Bing Maps is fine. Like, I could use the Fascinate stock and have no problem with it, but it's really kind of the principle of the matter, right? When you buy an Android phone, you expect to have Google stuff on it, and Verizon screwed up there, plain and simple, I think.
Well, yeah, especially let's say I had an Aris and I found a way to upgrade and got a new Fascinate. Well, I've got all my search, my saved searches and my starred searches. I've got a lot of stuff in Google that when you replace that with Bing, it's gone to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, that just the fact that they didn't give everybody a choice without having to root or hack or, you know, shake and make a rain dance. I wish they wouldn't do that kind of stuff.
It's okay. I don't. Yeah. Don't blame Bing. That's my headline. Don't blame Bing.
Right.
Bing's okay.
Right. And I, you know, I wouldn't knock anybody for preferring Bing. There's a lot of stuff I like about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, I prefer Google, so I should be able to use it.
Samsung released the Fascinate source code. So if you're the type who likes to mess around with that stuff, you can go get it. We got a link in the show notes. There's a leak out there of Sony Ericsson's, kind of update roadmap for the X10 line. And it's about what you expected, you know,
yep.
Hey, here's a 2.1 update. Here's an update past that, but it's not Froyo and blah, 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 blah. And, they screwed up that phone.
Yes,
could have been a
good
phone. Could have, should have.
And hopefully by this weekend, I'll have something for everybody to read what I think about it. But it's such a sweet piece of hardware. Even without multi-touch, it's a very nice phone, but it's hampered. Yeah. And Eclair will help a lot. Man, Froyo would have just been magic on that thing.
Well, should we do some voicemails? We got a bunch this week.
Sure.
Woohoo. We'll start with Mike.
All right.
Here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Mike from Philly with a question for the Android Central podcast. The question is about the Epic 4G upload 3G cap gate. Controversy I learned about in your Android forums, confirmed on the Sprint forums, which is basically this Epic 4G is not uploading faster than 155 KBs, which is terrible because I have an Evo and mine uploads a lot faster than that. My partner bought one $500 retail and wants to know should he return it within 30 days or not. So it all comes down to how much faith do you place in Samsung for and or Sprint for correcting this? Because if it's never corrected, I think he should return it. If, you know, I don't mind him waiting a couple months. Who knows? Maybe it's even going to be corrected in Froyo. But anyway, what are your thoughts? Return it or keep it? This is the upload 3G cap gate. Thanks.
Everything has to be gate now, huh? I actually spent a long time reading about this afternoon, and it's not, you know, it's not localized. It doesn't look like it's a device issue. So we got to probably pin it on Sprint. I don't know. So I talked to Sprint about it for a while this afternoon, and they're looking into it. The Sprint forums that Mike mentioned are just overflowing with this stuff, and they're really good on ours too. I know they're threads at XDA. Everybody's complaining about this, and it's not good. So I ducked outside with my Epic, and sure enough, that's about what I saw too. I live in a big Sprint black hole though, so I need to go drive around and try it some more. I don't know. Have you?
I don't have an Epic. I'm going to change carriers, so I didn't pick one up. But I do know a couple people that do have one, and it seems to affect everybody. No matter how good your signal is, it's just not. It's not working, and something that Sprint is going to have to fix.
It's not a 4G thing. It's just a 3G thing.
Nope. Now, the people I've talked to, their 4G seems to work as intended. The 4G on Sprint upload isn't very fast to begin with. It's capped at like 1.01 megabits per second, but they're getting higher than 128K, on 4G. So it's something in the 3G radio software in the Epic.
So stand by. Hope to hear back from Sprint. They're supposed to call me back today and didn't, so I'm going to get up with them on Friday. And hopefully we'll get this figured out. I don't know. I wish I had a better answer than that, but we don't just yet.
Yeah, and as far as taking back the Epic, how badly does this affect you? If it's making the phone unusable for you, then you have to consider taking it back. If you're not uploading a lot of stuff and it's not interfering with, your web browsing or your mail or anything, stick it out. Well, it'll get fixed eventually.
Yeah, right. It needs to work.
Mm-hmm. But, I'm sure it will get fixed eventually. They can't just, oh my God, can you imagine the nightmare if they just forget about it and pretend it doesn't exist? So yeah. I don't think that they'll do that.
That would be bad. That would be bad. All right, let's move on to Nathan.
Hey guys, this is Nathan from Orlando. I'm still loving my Nexus One, and I'd like to love it even more, which brings me to my question. Back when the N1 came out, there was a teardown exposing the Broadcom chip capable of 802.11n, FM transmission, and reception. Do you guys know of any mods that have been enabled this transmission? I'm not a big fan of terrestrial radio, but just think about the possibilities of a transmitter. I could pop in my N1 into my car dock and have it set to turn on the FM transmitter and broadcast all my audio instead of pairing it to the non-existent Bluetooth in my car. Or think about this. Apple has thousands of accessories that use their standard proprietary 30-pin plug. We'll never see that kind of market penetration probably for Android with the ever-increasing amount of different form factors. This could be a great solution for us. Love to hear your guys' thoughts and opinions. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
Oh, the FM transmitter and the FM radio, and here we go again.
there's more hardware needed. I don't think that it's in the phone. The chip will transmit out, but you need antennas and some sort of modulator. You need that hardware as well. And if it's not on the phone, you're never going to have FM transmission. Unless you're really handy with a soldering iron.
I think we would have seen it done by now if it were possible. Right. I hate to say it's not possible because God knows those guys at XDA can figure out anything, but I think they probably would have figured it out by now.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people.
A transmitter would be cool. I would love to see an actual transmitter because I, when I'm in the car, I like to stream podcasts into the stereo. So I've got like a Motorola, was it T505 speakerphone. So
the box, I know what you
mean. The little boxy guy. So it shoots Bluetooth from my phone to the speakerphone, and then the speakerphone has an FM transmitter that shoots it to the car. So you can, take phone calls and hear them over the speaker in the car, which is great, especially for like my kid in the back seat. So she can talk to her mom and stuff. So I would love to have that built into the phones. But again, that's one more battery suck. So what are you going to do?
Right. I mean, I'd like to see it too, but I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Randy.
Hello, my name is Randy Alvarado. And my question is, I got a HTC Vivo and I download content for mega upload, especially video, which I can play with my with the Apple Rock player. I wonder why I can't do that with my Evo, and I got a friend that has a Fascinate, Samsung Fascinate, and he can't download it. I mean, every time he tries to download that, actually, he says that the content is not, you know, that he's not capable to read the content or something like that, and you know, he's good in the Evo. I can. Well, thank you. Like your podcast, and I hope you guys keep doing good work. Thank you. Bye.
Got any idea? I don't know on that one.
The could be a great Epic. The Epic handles, you know, more codecs. That's, you know, that was a big thing that the Samsung had said about the Galaxy S, and the, you know, HTC doesn't. There's some third party. I think Rock Player is a, you know, a pretty popular app that'll play mostly, you know, most all your codecs, but HTC, that's just something that they haven't gotten their act together yet.
And codecs have to be licensed, right? Which is why you don't necessarily have all of them in each.
Right.
In each phone, which.
Right. Okay. And in the chat room, they're saying Act One Video plays almost everything. So there you go. Act One. And, I know Act One is free. Rock Player is free. Get them. And then you should be able to play, you know, what you're downloading.
Oh, you know what we didn't talk about? And we should have was, somebody suggested, and I totally forget the name again. Had something to do with a Wookiee, I think. a podcatcher. No, that was his name or something. A podcatcher.
Oh, the Chipmunk podcast. That's cool.
That will play a podcast at greater than one time speed. And so we've got a link in the show notes. You can check that out. I didn't think it was a particularly good media player. The UI was pretty horrendous. But yeah, you can make us sound like this.
Make us sound like this and talk really fast.
Yeah, that.
So that was fun to play with. So if you have to listen to us at, if you take it up to like 2x speed, it was ridiculous. You couldn't hear anything. But
there. And I have to be honest here. I was taking some painkillers, and I laid in bed and listened to about 6 or 8 episodes of the Android Central podcast. With that thing cranked way up, and it was a blast.
I did too, actually. Phil Monk. Oh, I love the chat room. Phil Monk. All right. Now, finally, here comes Caesar.
Hey, guys. My name is Caesar. I'm from Atlanta, Florida. My question is, I have a rooted Nexus 1. I use the one-click method that on the booster phone without unlocking the bootloader. And the problem that I have is every time that I switch an app to my SD, for some reason it disappears from my market and from my app list, and I don't really know why. I've looked online everywhere, and I really haven't found anything, but I heard the fix rate. I don't know if you guys can help me out. You guys are great. Thank you so much. Bye.
You know the answer to that, don't you?
Well, I... Just root your Nexus. It's easy. Just, and they very rarely deny any warranty. You know, HTC has a pretty good track record with it. Just root the Nexus. The instructions are out there. You can download. It's just one file, enter in one command, and your Nexus is rooted, and you can do anything you want. And then put CyanogenMod on it, and then you can do whatever you want with apps on the SD, and you won't have any problems anymore. I really don't like the one-click route for the Nexus.
Really?
Because that's a step in the wrong direction. They Google intervened, and they gave us a phone that's unlockable, and we can do what we want with it. And, you know, only thing they have in return is it's marked that you have modified the software. And people spent time to try to circumvent that. That's going to make the carriers push even harder not to have unlockable phones. But, you know, other people think differently. But I'm sure it's, you know, Caesar's problem is because the one-click root method doesn't really unlock everything on the phone.
Hmm. Didn't realize that, but mine's been unlocked the old way for so long now.
Yeah, and you know, maybe I'm wrong. That's the only thing I can think of is, you know, I'm maybe the NAND in it isn't getting, you know, read write permissions correctly when the phone boots, or, you know, I'm sure it's something with to do with the file permissions. And, you know, if you root it the regular way, it takes care of that. So, and it's easy.
Yeah.
I'll stop preaching.
Now, you want to do some emails?
Sure, let's read some emails. You want to start or you want me to start?
I'll start and let you answer. David writes, I've been using Advanced Task Manager to cut out running programs. Loved it until Froyo came out and it's unusable now. Do you have any other suggestions for task killers?
Should I? Should I give my suggestion for about a task killer?
Yes.
Don't use one.
Don't use one. Don't need to.
Nope.
We'll say it again. It depends on the phone, I think. If you're running Froyo on an older phone,
right,
you're still going to have to worry about stuff. But if you're running Froyo on a new phone.
But don't set up a task killer just, I need to have 100 megabytes free, so every 30 seconds I'm going to just kill off everything, because that causes more problems than it's going to solve. If you need to use a task killer because you have an application that you like and it doesn't act very well and you have to close it by hand sometimes, in Froyo, menu, settings, application, applications, and then manage applications, right there is a list of everything on your phone that's running, everything that's downloaded. Just pick it and hit force stop.
Every now and then, things will hang and can kind of be tough to get back to, at least until it crashes.
Sure.
But that's pretty rare for me, and especially on the stock phones I have. That's usually on the Nexus, which has been hacked to hell. So
yeah.
Poor guy.
So, that's David. I I don't mean to be blunt and I don't mean to be offensive in any way, but you're better off without one.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay. Now let's go. Tracy writes in. I read a couple stories about Skyhook suing Google in federal and state court over Google's location services in Google Maps. Skyhook is asking for the court to enjoin Google's use of their location services and is seeking damages. What do you think will happen to Google Maps if Skyhook wins this lawsuit? Go for it, Phil.
Well, we just wrote on this today. The New York Times did it up. Some other people did it up. And basically, Skyhook first announced Motorola back in April that Moto was going to use Skyhook services on the back end. You were still supposed to be able to use Google Maps. And it sounds like, according to the lawsuit, Google and specifically Andy Rubin came back and said, no, you need to use Google stuff for this, for whatever reason. It might be a perfectly legitimate reason, too. It might not just be, we want you to use our stuff. So supposedly Google strong-armed Motorola and said, no, you can't put these phones out, until you put our stuff back in there. And this was after testing. It cost time. It cost money. And so the lawsuit was filed. If Skyhook wins, I think it'll cost some money. They're not going to take your phone away. They're not going to shut down Android. I think it'll just cost Google some money, and Google has a lot of money.
Yep. And, Google is perfectly aware of what they think will happen if they lose. And, they're not saying the sky's falling. So I don't think we're going to see much of anything, on a consumer level if it happens. Yeah.
I'm not overly worried about it at all.
And everybody keeps saying that's reserved for Oracle. You don't even want to get me started on Oracle. There's a reason I'm sure that Phil hasn't put it in here, because I'd just go on for hours.
John writes, I've got a question about my mom's original Droid. She's having a problem with the horizontal on-screen keyboard. It stops appearing, and she has to do a full system wipe to get it back. This has only happened since Froyo update, if that helps. Have you guys heard of this problem, and do you know how to fix it without doing a system restore every time? That's pretty hardcore if you have to do a full wipe.
Yeah, I read that earlier, and I just – there's some sort of underlying issue somewhere, and if it – comes back after a full wipe, it certainly doesn't sound like it's a software issue. The next time it happens, I might carry that down to Verizon.
Yeah.
It hasn't been a year yet, so take it down to Verizon and put it out on the table and say, hey, make my horizontal keyboard come up. Oh, you can't? Well, I need one that does, and see what Verizon has to say.
Get your mom a new phone. She deserves it.
Yeah, get her a Droid too.
And depending on how long you've had that Droid, they might.
Yeah. Yeah, we had some people in the forums that had to return a droid in for, you know, factory service, and in return they got a droid mm-hmm. 2 in the mail. Mm-hmm. So you never know.
There you go. All right, you're up.
Okay, Michael writes, I've heard rumors that the T-Mobile G2 may not get the next latest and greatest update to Gingerbread because it only has an 800 megahertz processor. Have you heard from Google that they would only grant updates to Gingerbread to those devices that have a 1 gigahertz processor or higher?
Here's what Google has told us about Gingerbread.
Crickets. Crickets.
That's it. That's all they told us. Don't no. People need to stop those rumors and stop the whole 800 megahertz sucks is slow talk. It's ridiculous, right? If right. a phone's going to get upgraded, it's going to get upgraded. Now, we had some phones that were marginal on getting Froyo, and they aren't officially going to get Froyo, and Jerry was very wrong about them, and I like to point that out whenever I can. Yep. But but at this point, we don't even know what Gingerbread is. Jeez.
And that whole 1 gigahertz thing, that was just a web rumor that turned out to be wrong.
Yeah.
And more fuss was made when the rumor first started than there was made when we found out it was wrong. That's why everybody's still under that impression.
And I read a few things this week that are saying that Gingerbread might not even be like 3.0, right? It might be a 2.3. Yep. So, you know, right. again, you know, who knows what that means. But, you know, the fact is we just don't know. We haven't even seen, like, good leaks.
And we haven't even used the G2 with Froyo yet, and we're already worried about getting upgrades to Gingerbread. You know, that just kills me. I think everybody that worries that about that needs to have to use a BlackBerry for 6 months.
Oh, let's see. Who's up? Vincent writes, I've been a BlackBerry user for years, and I listen to your podcast every week. You do such an amazing job. I was wondering, what will it take for you guys to get listed in the podcast app for BlackBerry? Well, all it took was that email, because I have registered us for the BlackBerry podcast list today. Damn. So we'll see if they allow us in. They better. If they don't, we're going public.
If they do, I might have to upgrade to a BlackBerry that can actually use that app.
If they do let us in, and I don't know why they wouldn't, we're still going public.
Yeah. There you go.
So I have registered on there and submitted the podcast, and somebody with a BlackBerry, take a look. It might be there now for all I know. I don't know. Android Berry. Sweet. That's a good name. Phil Berry.
Yeah, I love it. Phil Berry. I just wasn't going to say it. Okay, here's a big one. Pete writes, my wife just got the new Epic, and she has a Google Apps account with her business that won't show all of her calendars on the phone. But it shows about 4 or 5 of her 12 calendars on the list of calendars to sync. On my Evo, I don't have this issue. It's showing all of my calendars in the list of calendars to sync. I do have a different calendar issue on my Evo, which is that after I enter a new event on the calendar, it immediately goes read-only. I can edit it through the web, and I can delete it from my Evo calendar and add it again, but I can't edit the entry. Do you know what's up? And unfortunately, no.
I have a feeling it has something to do with there being 12 calendars on there. I'm willing to bet it just won't sync that many.
Well, now, to be fair, I'm syncing 8.
No.
I'm syncing 8 on a Nexus, the Evo, and the Charm, and it's doing it without a hitch.
Well, then it might be an Epic thing.
Or it might be a Google Apps thing. The Epic that she's having the problem syncing the calendars is a Google Apps account. So
well, I've got
sure.
Google Apps. Maybe I need to put 12 calendars on there and see what syncs on the Epic.
There you go. You make a calendar for fun, I guess.
Yeah, I have some homework for next week. That's a good question. And finally, Smoke writes, coming from a BlackBerry, I'm very used to closing apps to see a significant speed improvement. How do I not see this on my Vibrant? Don't get me wrong, it's fast, but sometimes during games it has some lag spikes and freezes up. Is there a way to close apps besides Task Killer? I've been using ATK and find it inconvenient that I have to use a third-party app to do something that should have been put on the OS natively. Well, we already answered that, and it's still an inconvenience to dive into the settings and kill apps, but that's how you do it.
But the key word in his email might just be Vibrant. Maybe it's not a matter of an app is eating up the CPU and needs closed. Samsung used a different proprietary file system that people call it, you know, the lag fix when they change it back to the normal Android file system. But maybe that's what he's seeing, you know, the short amount of time I had to play with, you know, the Epic and the Vibrant, I didn't see any lag on them, but you know, I do know it's there because enough people are saying that it's there. So maybe, you know, Froyo is going to fix that for you, and hopefully we'll see that soon.
Good answer.
Well, and that's just a guess. Maybe Smoke is going to write back and say, that Jerry, he's an idiot. I already did the lag fix, and, you know, maybe it's not, but it's worth thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's going to do it, I think.
Impossible.
Impossible.
It's still daylight somewhere. We can't be finished yet. How did we get through all that stuff?
You know, we threatened. I talked with Kevin from Crackberry about doing this. Maybe we got to find somebody to sponsor it. But doing like an all-night podcast with all of us. Just tagging the whole thing. That would be fun.
Yeah, that would be.
For it. I'm not doing that for free.
Oh
no.
Well, you know what? I'll see if Pabst Blue Ribbon will pay for it. They owe me. I'm the reason they're still in business through that long dry spell when it wasn't cool to drink Pabst.
Kevin can get Campari to sponsor it. Okay, wrap it up for me, Jerry. Wrap it up for me.
Okay. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us by email at podcast@androidcentral.com. Or you can find all of us on Twitter. The podcast is @AndroidCentral. Phil is @PhilNickinson. Mickey, who couldn't be with us tonight, is @TCPJ_Mickey. I'm @GBHIL. And you can follow the list at Android Central for all of the other site writers. And the podcast tonight was brought to you by the Android Central Store. You can visit it on the web at store.androidcentral.com. Or you can reach them over the phone at 888-468-6158. And we love to hear from you guys. You can leave us a voicemail here for the podcast at 888-468-6158, extension 222.
That's it. Stick a fork in us. We are done. I'm going to go buy a Galaxy Tab. Well, not yet, but...
You have to run to New York and just sneak one. Well, they fit in your pocket. Just wear Banana Republic jacket.
I don't know why people just discovered that. Dieter took a picture of it in his back pocket, you know, from Berlin. He's skinnier than I am. Well, I used to be skinny. Anyway. All right, chat room. Thank you. Everybody listening at home, thank you too. See you in a week.
Hasta la vista.
Hey there, everybody. Oh, see, you're making noise.
I'm sorry. I closed the damn window. I'm sorry. I'll shut up.